Okay, we are back here at Radio Free Moscow, KRFP Moscow, 92.5 on your FM dial. We're doing a call-in show. This is a special candidates forum for city council candidates tonight. We have two city council candidates in the studios, Wayne Krause and Tom Lamar. There are four candidates running for three open seats on the city council. We'll have the other two candidates in on Thursday night. The other two candidates are Dan Karskalin and Aaron Ament, and you can each cast ballots for up to three of them. So it's sort of voting off the people off the island sort of election this year, where one person is not going to win. Anyway, the phone number is 892-9200. I'm Lee Robartis, and we'll continue along. The next question will go to Wayne Krause first. And in the last week or so, the city... there was a volunteer fire department member who have served notice, 60-day notice, to sue the city over allegations of nepotism in the fire department. And it's probably not something that city council candidates can comment on at this point, being the subject of litigation. But in a more general sense, I was wondering what the city council can do to prevent things such as nepotism from getting into the city employee system here in Moscow, Idaho.
Well, Lee, it's pretty difficult to prevent nepotism, I guess, if you want to say it, if you think you already are. I think the city has an excellent hiring program in place. You're right, because this is in litigation, we can't speak of this situation. But in looking at the city's hiring practices, in talking to human resources, I feel comfortable in my own mind that the city does cover all its bases and does go through the hiring process in a proper manner.
Okay, and that was Wayne Krause and now Tom Lamar.
Yeah, well, because it is in litigation and because it is a personnel matter, I can't really speak to that particular issue. I think whenever we hire individuals, we need to make sure that job descriptions are clear and that people are hired to do the job that they're best qualified for.
Okay, and that was Tom Lamar. The phone number is 892-9200. And the next question will go to Tom Lamar. The Moscow Sustainable Environment Commission recommended changing the statement that the Moscow City Council passed in May on megaloads coming through the city. And I was wondering if you could comment on why the City Council has decided not to move forward on changing that.
Well, I was not at the city council meeting when that decision was made originally to pass that statement. I would have voted against that statement in the first place, and I was supportive of the recommendations by the Sustainable Environment Commission to either reword or rescind that statement and then write to ITD about questions that we as the city has about the megaloads.
Okay, and that was Tom Lamar. Now Wayne Krause.
That went through the administration committee, and the admin committee did request from the state of Idaho questions pertaining to loads, permits processing, and frequency of loads, requesting better confirmation and better information as to when those loads were going to come. It hasn't come back to city council for any kind of a reaffirmation or a change in the position statement. The council continues, I think, to feel that these megaloads are using our state highways, and no matter what we say, the city of Moscow can't stop them.
Okay, and that was Wayne Krause. The next question will go to Wayne Krause first. We have two people on the line, and we're going to go to the first caller first. So go ahead, call.
Okay, I have a question kind of to follow up on the previous one. I want to know what the candidate's position on allowing the Mammut ExxonMobil megaloads to pass through Moscow and along Highway 12 on their way to the tar sands project in Alberta is. And I want to know what their positions are on Moscow Police Department getting paid through Mammut and the oil corporations for the overtime that they work on the evenings that the loads go through.
Okay, and I just want to say that you can call in with a second question or a third question if you have one in a bit. Why don't we just handle the first couple questions that you had?
Okay.
All right. So that'll go to Wayne Krause first.
Well, the council's position is still the same as what it was when it made that position statement, that we can find no discernible reason not to allow them through. The fact of the matter is, just as I said previously, we can't stop them anyway. It's not a city position to take a stand on the Kira Oil Sands project, and it's not our position to take a stand on saying that the megaloads shouldn't come through town. Now, let me make a personal statement that I think that the megaloads are becoming a real pain, and if I had my druthers, I would just as soon not see them come through town. But it is a state highway. It was built with federal funds for interstate transportation of goods, and that's exactly what it's being used for. How much time do I have, Lee?
About 15 seconds.
15 seconds, okay. I don't think it's a bad thing that we're asking Mammut to pay for our overtime costs. It's a matter of additional funding for the city to cover this, and it's a case-by-case basis, and yes, I do support that.
Okay, and that was Wayne Krause, and now Tom Lamar.
I have concerns about the loads themselves, the impact of the loads themselves on the highway bed. I think some parts of the highway probably can handle the loads, and other parts can't handle the loads, and I think we're going to perhaps find out which parts happen as time goes on. I think Highway 12 is completely inappropriate for loads of that size. I think that, police coverage. I believe that, they should pay for the impact that they have of moving their loads through the communities that they go through. And if they're creating problems, I think they should pay for those problems, including road displacement issues, if there are any. I think that Idaho taxpayers are probably funding the loads more than they should be.
Okay, and that was Tom Lamar. And now we're going to go to the other line and the person who's been waiting the longest and see what their question is. 892-9200, by the way. You are on the air. Go ahead. We heard you for a second there.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
I'd like to ask how both of the candidates see Moscow positioning itself over the next 4 years with regards to our municipal water resources. And given both of your lengthy residences in Moscow and the greater Palouse, how do you see the potential or the proposed surface water reservoir fitting into the regional water resource picture, especially with regards to downstream users?
Okay, and that will go to Tom Lamar first.
If we are able to capture surface water, we'd be capturing most of that water during high flow periods, such as the wintertime and spring runoff. It's going to be very expensive if we're able to do it, but it's possible that it might be done. I think we're going to find out that the water that we have right now is going to be the least expensive water, and so therefore water conservation is the best way for us to manage our long-term resources. We all should be very proud about the quality of our water in Moscow, and all whatever rust aside from particular wells, but it's extremely high quality water, and it's going to be harder to attain that from surface water. It would be best if we could devise a system where that surface water could be used for irrigation purposes and that we continue to use groundwater for drinking.
Okay, that was Tom Lamar, and now Wayne Krause.
Well, the idea of reservoirs or surface water retention is one that dates back clear back in the early 1900s when they really started looking at Moscow Mountain, but it was never carried forward. We've done a pretty exhaustive research in the last 18 months here again using TerraGraphics, and they've identified various watersheds on Moscow Mountain that can be utilized from smaller ones to pretty large ones. This could be the wave of the future. As Tom said, it's going to be pretty expensive, and it's going to be down the road before this happens. In the meantime, conservation truly is the cheapest way we can do it. Maintain the quality of the aquifers that we have. Most people now are aware that we utilize two aquifers. We use the Wanapum and we use the Grand Ronde, the Wanapum being the shallow aquifer, which does have a recharge rate. The Grand Ronde continues to drop, although not dropping as much as it had because of the conservation efforts that not only Moscow but Pullman, University of Idaho, and WSU have put together. So all in all, that's good, but we have to keep looking at this. We have to keep moving forward because it's not a sustainable source right now, and we are going to need to look at a way to augment our water system as time goes on, most definitely.
Okay, and that was Wayne Krause. The phone number is 892-9200, and I think I took the last callers in the wrong sequence, so we're going to go to, that guy's gone. So anyway, 892-9200, if you have questions for candidates Wayne Krause and Tom Lamar running for Moscow City Council. And there was a, this will go to Wayne Krause first. There was a grant recently awarded for two new Moscow police officers. The grant would pay for their salary for 3 years. There was a comment when the grants were accepted by the city council that, we're going to have to be spending more money down the road because these police officers will have to be paid after the grant money runs out after 3 years. I would ask you to comment on that regarding police and maybe other grants as well.
Well, that was the COPS grant, Lee, that we acquired, and that was for two police officers for 3 years. One of them will be a school resources officer. The other one will be a traffic officer. We lost both those positions not too long ago, and part of that because of the loss of funding that we received from the University of Idaho and the University of Idaho contract. This is going to help supplement that. We'll bring these two officers back online, and they're going to be invaluable to the service that they're going to render to the community. They are for 3 years, and part of the grant states that we have to guarantee that we'll fund it a fourth year. Well, of course, we want to be able to continue to fund that, and it's going to cost in the neighborhood of about $150,000 a year after the grant money runs out for the two officers, including benefits and taxes and so on and so forth. But it gives us time to plan for that, and we do a really good job right now on managing our city budget, and we can continue to look at that, and we want to maintain the safety of our community with the quality police department that we have.
Okay, and that was Wayne Krause, and now Tom Lamar.
I'm happy that we received that grant and gives us an opportunity to figure out how we're going to pay for that fourth year and beyond. We do, when you look at these first 4 years that we're required to pay for that fourth year, the fact that we're getting the first 3 years paid for is like getting, 4 years of two police officers at 25% of the cost. So it really is a cost-effective way to fund those positions that we lost in that grant negotiation with – or contract negotiation with the University of Idaho.
Okay, that was Tom Lamar. We're getting down to the last 15 minutes or so, and we're going to use some of that time for a two-minute closing statement. So if you have any more questions, 892-9200. I'm sorry about the one person who hung up waiting. I think I took the phone calls in the wrong sequence is what happened last time. So if you want to call back, people can call back as many times as they want. The phone number, once again, is 892-9200. And not seeing the flashing light at the moment, I want to ask, is the Third Street Bridge issue resolved? I noticed the City Council listed its goals for the next year to have a pedestrian bridge put in at Mountain View and Third Street, if I'm not mistaken. And previously, council members have announced support for a vehicle bridge. What's the story with that? And we'll go to Tom Lamar first.
Thanks, Lee. Well, when I was on the Transportation Commission a bunch of years ago, this issue came up then, and I was opposed to having that be a car bridge at that point. And I still remain opposed to that and would prefer to see a future bridge there be a pedestrian and bicycle mode bridge. Third Street is, it's a neighborhood street. There's a lot of traffic already on it. And it is, from a bicyclist perspective and a walker's perspective, it's the best grade street to get from east to west in Moscow. And if we increase the traffic on there, it's going to be more difficult for that bicycle route to function well. And so, and I think that that'll happen if we open up a street, a bridge at that location. So I'd rather just see us continue to use the existing functional east-west routes for cars.
Okay, that was Tom Lamar, and now Wayne Krause.
Well, Lee, I think you said that one of the council goals was to install a footbridge.
That's what I'd heard. Maybe I was wrong about that.
No, that's not.
Okay.
One of the goals stated that, and I think it was one of the mayor's goals, was that we would continue to support donations for that particular bridge. Okay, so now my 60 seconds is starting.
Okay.
Third Street Bridge. I don't have an opinion one way or the other, and the reason is because discussing how much traffic would increase on 3rd Street is speculation at this time. That's why we called for a multimodal transportation study as opposed to the intermodal transit center, a multimodal transportation study that is going to encompass not only vehicular traffic, but pedestrian traffic, bicycle path traffic, or bicycle traffic. But my big concern would be if we actually did have a vehicle bridge in there, what would that do to the 3rd Street corridor as it passes through town? At certain hours during school session, 3rd and Washington is gridlocked almost to the immovable right now. And I would not want to see a lot of extra traffic dumped through those intersections because 3rd Street is actually Highway 8. And I think it would be a travesty if the state came in because of an increase of traffic through 3rd Street and said, we need now to put in four lanes and a turning lane, which means you have to remove parking from all of 3rd Street. That would be in the downtown area, and that would not be good.
Okay, that's Wayne Krause, and the phone number is 892-9200 as we're winding down. If you have any questions for the candidates, it's 892-9200. My next question for Wayne Krause, I think you mentioned that the city had requested more information from the Idaho State Patrol about the megaloads coming through town, ExxonMobil megaloads. And did you get any more information on that, including information maybe on infrastructure impacts? I know one of these convoys was more than 750,000 pounds total coming through at one time.
Yeah, that's a short answer to that, Lee, is no, we have not. And as far as information from ITD and ISP, as far as when these loads are coming through, of course, as we all know, they started off with one load one day a week, and then they went to three loads one day a week. Now they've gone to three loads 2 days a week. I don't know where they're going with this. I know that they're battling the winter months, and they want to get those out of the Port of Lewiston and get them into Montana and ultimately on to Canada. So in answer to your question, nope, we haven't. I've heard nothing as far as additional communication from the state.
Okay, that was Wayne Krause, and now Tom Lamar.
We haven't heard anything that I know of, and I continue to be concerned about the impact on the roads. We had one structural engineer that testified locally here in May that it was not going to be good for the road. So I'd like to see the, you know, reality behind why ITD's saying it's okay.
Okay, 892-9200. The next question, we'll go to Tom Lamar first. It's about redistricting. Some council members would rather not have the city make an official statement on redistricting, but in the end, the city did. How do you think it worked out now that the new legislative district is going to include all of Latah County and all of Benoit County and nothing else? And were you concerned about the splitting of Latah County and even the city of Moscow, as was proposed in some of the early redistricting maps that we thought might go forward during the first redistricting commission this summer?
Well, when that question came before us, I voted to keep Latah County whole, and I'm glad that that was the final result, with the redistricting committee. It'll be interesting to see how the campaigns run with the inclusion of Benoit County, but I'm glad that we didn't split the county and split the city.
Okay, that's Tom Lamar. Now Wayne Krause.
Well, not only were they talking about splitting the county and the city of Moscow, which, by the way, the street right in front of my house was where they were going to split it, so I didn't know if I was going to be in the Benoit County side or the Latah County side, but then also splitting Nez Perce County and Lewiston, trying to combine Lewiston and Moscow. None of that made any sense to me. And in talking to Dave McGraw, one of our county commissioners, he was concerned about it and keeping Latah County whole, and I certainly wanted to keep Moscow whole. Now, how's that going to play out with District 5 and 5A when we get into Benoit County? Benoit County being really, really conservative. This could be interesting when it comes down to the legislative elections. Certainly doesn't affect us here on our local level where we're nonpartisan, but it was kind of an interesting process to follow.
Okay, that was Wayne Krause. 892-9200. I think we'll just go with one more question here. Recently, there's been a spate of arson fires in parks. It's extended over a few years, and it's definitely caused problems, mainly in bathrooms. We had a bathroom burned down in East City Park and some others in various other parks around town. And part of the city council's response was to put in surveillance cameras. Tell me what you think about that program and the costs to the city with that.
Well, that makes me really angry when people decide that they're just going to start burning down public facilities because, A, they're bored, or B, they've got some kind of a problem with the city parks and recreation. This becomes expensive, and anybody that's been to East City Park sees all the porta-potties that are there because we had an arson fire in there that absolutely destroyed the restrooms, and it's going to cost thousands of dollars to completely rebuild that and revamp those bathrooms. We also had one out at the park out there off of Taylor. Anyway, that's beside the point. We're going to be looking at doing some other types of security measures. We've had discussions about putting cameras in certain locations with closed-circuit television to identify perpetrators that are causing these problems. I certainly think and feel that it needs to come to a halt now.
Okay, and that was Wayne Krause and now Tom Lamar.
Yeah, it's disturbing when anybody damages property like that. You may have been referring to Berman Creekside Park, yeah. So, and that was just a porta potty that got torched. And then we had the kids that burned the bathroom next to the school district, junior high school building this summer. So there have been several times when we've seen these happen, and I do think that probably a game camera type of situation might be the best way to figure out who's doing this stuff and catch a few people and stop it.
Okay, and that was Tom Lamar. We're going to go to closing statements. There's 2 minutes for opening or for closing statements tonight, and we decided at the flip of the coin earlier that Tom Lamar would go first for closing statements. So you got 2 minutes.
Well, I don't think I'll use 2 minutes, but I would appreciate listener support on November 8th for both my city council campaign and the school levy campaign. I think it's really important that we make sure that the schools are supported well. If people want to learn more about me, they can go to my website, which is tomlamar.org. And by people visiting there, they can learn about me or how they can help with my campaign, or if they want to contact me, my email address is there. Just wanted to say thank you for letting me come and be here today and have a chance to visit with you and answer questions from listeners.
Okay, and that's Tom Lamar and now Wayne Krause.
Well, Lee, once again, I want to thank you and KRFP for inviting us here tonight. This will be fairly short also. This last 4 years, that's been a good 4 years. The city council gets along well. We've got a great rapport. It's interesting that this campaign has not been very contentious, and it's totally opposite of the one that was 4 years ago. That tells me that the citizens of Moscow are basically fairly pleased with the way things have been going. I know I am, and I know we've certainly got some projects that I want to see moving forward over the next 4 years. The wastewater treatment plant, Phase 4, which is being done. We've got Northeast South, the Southeast Moscow Industrial Park that we want to get completed, legacy overlay zone, the water retention reservoir studies that need to be furthered on. So there's a lot of work in progress. Besides that, especially Moscow Valley Transit and our local public transportation system. So I just ask for your vote on November 8th. And once again, thank you very much.
Thank you, candidates. That was Wayne Krause. And we also heard from Tom Lamar tonight here on the radio. We're going to spend an hour with the other two of the four candidates running for the three open seats on the Moscow City Council. They're Dan Karskalin and Aaron Ament. And that will be Thursday night at 6:30. So get your dialing fingers ready and call in here at Radio Free Moscow on Thursday night. And remember, you can vote for up to three of the candidates. The winners get four-year terms. They'll join Tim Brown, Sue Scott, and Walter Steed on the council, who have 2 years left in their terms. Mayor Nancy Cheney, who presides over the council, also has 2 years left in her terms. Her term, you can vote on Tuesday, November 8th. You can also vote absentee in advance. Tuesday, November 2nd, the last day to request a mailed absentee ballot. Thursday, November 4th, the last day to show up at the Latah County Courthouse to vote absentee in person at the auditor's office. And also, you do not need to be registered in advance to vote in Idaho. You can register at the polls. You got to bring ID, and you've got to bring proof that you lived at the current address that you live at for the last 30 days. But you can show up at the polls, which I believe will be at the fairgrounds, although I'm not sure. You can also vote on the Moscow School District $1.97 million continuing levy increase that day on November 8th. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on Thursday, 6:30 p.m. right here on KRFP Moscow 92.5. Have a good evening. And the Mark Daniels Show talk show is coming up in just a minute. He's waiting patiently outside. So we'll go to that after a quick musical break.